Welcome back to 770 CHQR and More Than Money, and here we go. We're ready. Here it comes. Tax time.
Yes, it is.
Okay, this is the fun part because not only do you get excited about saving people on taxes, not only do I get excited, but there's one guy that I know that really is passionate about saving people on taxes. He came to Calgary, was it last month?
Last month we saw him. It was great.
He gave us the presentation of his tax tips. Went into a little bit more detail of what we as advisors can help our clients with more on. So I really like that piece. And so he's a regular contributor to our show. Jamie Golombek is the Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC Financial Planning and Advice. Jamie, welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be back.
So in this city, in this province, we have a lot of business owners, individual, private corporations. Let's start there. 2019 year-end tax tips for business owners. What should they be aware of?
Well, again, we always do year-end tax tips, especially for business owners this year, in light of the changes we've seen in the last couple of years. So there are major changes to the taxation of Canadian-controlled private companies, or CCPCs. The first, of course, is the changes to limit the ability for a business owner to do income splitting. Basically, it says that if you're paying your spouse or partner or children any kind of dividends from your corporation, in most cases, that income will be taxed at the highest marginal rate. That's what we call split income, or TOSI. Now, there are a number of exceptions to that particular rule. Obviously, if the individuals are working in the business more than 20 hours a week, that's fine. So what we're saying is before the end of the year, if your private company has shareholders, like a spouse, partner, or any other adult relatives, you want to be very, very careful before paying a dividend at the end of the year to them. You want to make sure you look at your share structure and determine whether or not you want to be paying dividends to those kids or to the spouse if they're not involved in the business. There may be an opportunity to speak to a lawyer or other advisor to do a restructuring of the business. There are exceptions for certain types of companies that if you own more than 10% of the votes in value, you may be able to stream some dividends there. You got to be very careful. And in particular, if you've got a child who is under the age of 25, you got to be very careful because there's an age 25 test, and therefore, if they are working in the business, you may want to defer that, until after 2019 if they turn 25 next year. The other big, of course, change to private companies deals with passive investment income. The government did not like the fact that you could accumulate all these extra assets inside your corporation that you're not using for the business. Effectively, what they said is starting this year in 2019, you will lose access to the small business deduction, a ratio of 5-1, for every dollar of passive income above $50,000. So one thing that you could look at before the end of this year, December 31st, is if you're trying to keep your investment income in your company below $50,000, are there ways to reduce the amount of income to be able to stop earning the investment income in the corporation? One way to do that, of course, is continuing to maximize RSPs and TFSAs. We've been big fans. We've written separate reports on this topic of every business owner should be maximizing her RSP and her TFSA, taking money out of the company, contributing into those tax-deferred, tax-free plans. That takes money out of the company, not subject to investment income. Other strategies that are a little more complicated, things like individual pension plans, which effectively is a defined benefit plan for the business owner, even corporately owned exempt life insurance. Again, these are both strategies, a little bit more complex, that allow you to take some of the passive investments from your corporation, move them into a tax-sheltered environment, and therefore maybe keep below the $50,000 passive income limitation.
So a bit of change is happening there. So people need to get that advice and sit down with their advisor, potentially a tax lawyer, to get this figured out because we're running out of time. There's only 4 weeks left in the year. One thing you mentioned when you were in Calgary, Jamie, was about charitable donations and how they differ for corporations who are making donations versus individuals. Let's start off with let's educate our listeners about what's the opportunity for making charitable donations as an individual. And then how can corporations also donate and make that a bit better for them as well?
Well, sure. I think as most people know, when you make a charitable donation as an individual person, you get a tax credit. Now, you get federally credit at 15% on the first $200. Anything above that jumps to 29%. Anything above $200 a year, even 33% if you're in the top bracket. Top of that, Alberta gives very substantial credits when it comes to charitable giving. So effectively, you could be getting back over 50% depending on how much you're giving each year to charity. When it comes to corporations, a corporation doesn't get a tax credit. It gets a tax deduction. So a corporation could deduct from its income the amount that it donates to charity. One of the things that I like to talk about in the month of December, we get close to the end of the year, is when you're looking at your portfolios, hopefully you've got some winners in there, some stocks, some bonds, or maybe some mutual funds that have gone up in value. This is really the big opportunity, whether you're an individual or a corporation. Now, the rules are a little bit different, but if you're an individual and you've got appreciated securities, consider making that year-end gift by making a gift in kind. Not only we get a receipt equal to the fair market value of the securities that you're donating, but in addition, you will pay no capital gains tax on the entire appreciated gain we donate in kind to charity. Now, with a corporation, if the corporation has some marketable securities that have appreciated in value, you get what I call a triple benefit. Number one, the corporation gets to deduct the amount of donation from its corporate income. Number two, the corporation will not pay tax on the accrued capital gain. But number three is the best. The corporation will get a credit to what's called its capital dividend account. And that would then allow that corporation to pay out that amount in future tax-free as a capital dividend to the shareholder. So again, lots of great opportunities there, and something that people need to think about before December 31st, particularly on an individual basis. And for a corporation, of course, it depends on the corporation's year-end, but many are December 31st, so something to think about now as well.
So, Jamie, what you're saying there is if you're an individual out there and you want to make a charitable donation to whatever cause that you feel endeared to or passion to, that you shouldn't write a check if you have capital gains.
Well, absolutely correct. And I was amazed at the number of people that really don't realize this. The opportunity to make a charitable gift, most major charities are well set up to accept gifts of securities. It's actually very simple. It's one or two pages of paperwork. You scan it. They'll walk you right through the process. Very easy to do. All I do every year, and this is how I make 100% of my gifts, is at the end of the year, I look at my biggest appreciated security, and I just tell my advisor, I want to donate this much of it to charity. Then what I do, of course, is I take the cash that I was going to give to the charity, and I buy back that security. So there's no superficial gain rule. So effectively what's happening is I'm bumping up the adjusted cost base or the tax cost of my securities back up to fair market value.
Jamie, you got to, I wish you were here.
Paying no tax.
Jamie, I wish you were here because you got to see Andrew's face on this one. He's got like ear-to-ear smile. This guy is so happy right now. You just said triple benefit for corporate owners and in-kind donation. This guy's getting excited right now. It's great.
Well, it is exciting stuff. And unfortunately, people do not know. And they're not taking advantage of it. So I would say, look, as a rule of thumb, if you're given substantial amounts, like anywhere, I don't know, over $1,000 a year to a particular charity, please speak to your advisor about making a charitable gift in kind. And if you don't have any gains in your portfolio, it's time for a new advisor because we hit record highs last week, right, in the stock markets in Canada and the U.S.
Yeah. So now we've got about a minute left. Let's go through three tips you can give individuals for the year end that they can do right away to help them with their tax situation.
Okay, obviously, number one, if you do have some losses in the portfolio, maybe you've invested in the cannabis sector recently, maybe you want to do some tax loss selling, use those losses against other gains. Number two, of course, if you turn 71 in 2019, hopefully you've done so already, you've got to convert your RSP to a RIF or to a registered annuity. Most people choose the RIF option. You've got to do that by the end of the year. And then finally, I would say there are certain expenses that need to be paid by the end of the year if you want to claim a deduction. And I'm thinking like interest expense. If you borrowed money for the purpose of earning investment income or business income, you want to write that off. You want to pay that by the end of the year. Similarly, if you've paid investment counseling fees or investment expenses for non-registered accounts, make sure you pay those by the end of the year to get your tax deduction for 2019.
Jamie, thank you so much for all your help, and we'll bring you back on next year to give us the tips for what we can do for 2020.
You got it. Thanks again.
We've been joined by Jamie Gollenbeck, Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning, CIBC Financial Planning and Advice. We are hosting a seminar, and tax is a big issue. One of the biggest concerns financially for Canadians as they transition to and live in retirement. We're going to show them some strategies on tax. We're going to show them how to profit and protect. We're also going to show them an asset dedication strategy, a strategy that's designed to bulletproof your retirement. That's going to be on Tuesday, December the 3rd, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com. Andrew, I'm going to pick your brain for the next, right after commercial break. I want us to kind of dig in deep on two ways that our listeners can save on taxes this year and going into next year.
Yep.
So we did some 2019 planning. Now's the time to look at next year and how you can save a boatload of money potentially. And so I want to pick your brain on that one. I want to make sure that we can have that conversation with them, because this is going to be, this can be thousands and thousands of dollars of savings on tax. And as long as you get the advice and you sit down properly and figure this out in advance, Andrew, you're going to open up the secret sauce for these individuals. So coming after the break, you're listening to 770 CHQR and More Than Money.